Look at somebody and tap them on the side and say, find your stopping point. Go back over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. And I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to what? My earnest expectation and my hope. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. Let's read that again. For I know that this shall turn. Whatever you're dealing with, it's only got a time. It'll turn. This shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be afraid. Now jump on over to chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now go to chapter 3, verse 14, right there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How many have an old life? Anybody got an old life that you used to have? You don't have it anymore? Anybody had an old source of supply? Anybody ever had an old source of supply? A way of living that supported you? That made a way for you? You depended upon that life? It's how you stood, isn't it? You know, righteousness is how we stand. We stand as the righteousness in Christ Jesus by doing the right thing. Righteousness is how we stand and how we walk. Did you know that? Righteousness is a right standing in God. How many want to stand right? You want to stand up right before God? And be found in him, not having mine own right standing. And be found in him, not being able to stand on anything else, but on Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Many times people think his righteousness is just basically what we do. We are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Well, righteousness, you can tell how righteous someone is by the way in which they walk. Guess what? If you're righteous, you're automatically going to walk what? In righteousness. But Paul is saying here, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He stood in the law before, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God by faith. Now, how many have grown up in faith?
And faith goes beyond simply what we just believe, what we believe about something. How many are growing up in faith? Nation Church, we're growing to the point to where our faith is evidenced by what we do. Say, faith is evidenced by what a person does. What you do every day is your faith. Did you know that? What you walk in every day is your faith. Now, Paul said, all things that were gained to me, those things I counted but loss. Forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing forward to the high prize of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God wants to get rid of all of our self-righteousness. You know God doesn't need your help. You know God doesn't need your help. Where God wants you to go, He can take you there Himself. You know the new life that God has for you in Christ Jesus, He can give it to you out of the Word. But all things which were gained to me. How many got some things that were gained? That are gained to you? Think that's your supply. Anybody got a job that's gained to you? What's your supply today? What are you living off of today? What can you just not do without? I tell you what, when you grow up in God, you're going to learn some things. And one of the things that you learn is that there's nothing of gain to you but knowing Jesus Christ. That your God will supply all. God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And as we grow up in God, those things that matter to us, that used to matter to us, you know what you're going to find out? They don't matter anymore. Not standing in our own righteousness, in our own works, what we think, but standing in faith and living by faith. In this last day, we're going to see some people truly living by faith. And what do you mean truly living by faith? People truly carrying out what God leads them to do. Speaking the things that God told them to speak and doing the works of God. How many want to stand in God's righteousness? How many are the righteousness in Christ Jesus? What is it evidenced by? What is your faith evidenced by? How many of you are the righteousness in Christ? Raise your hand again. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus, but what is that righteousness doing? How many have great faith? What do you believe in God to do? Faith is what we are walking in. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. What is the thing hoped for? What is your expectation? That this is going to turn to my salvation according to my earnest expectation. Paul was going through some things. You know, we studied the scripture, we find out that everything just wasn't perfect in Paul's life. He had to suffer a bit. We said one of the problems with the body of Christ is they didn't know nothing about suffering. And people think when you suffer for the cause of Christ Jesus, it means you get sick. Or you just remain unhappy. Or you just don't get your way. Suffering for the cause of Christ Jesus is letting God, is yielding everything you have and everything you are to the leading of the Holy Ghost and to the will of God and to the Spirit of God. What Paul was basically saying, this shall turn to my earnest expectation. It means that all the things that we see about us, you know, the whole world's going to turn according to my earnest expectation. And you know what my earnest expectation is? What is your earnest expectation? What should be your earnest expectation? Jesus is coming. Do you hear me? The King of Kings is coming. And the things that you see, listen, they ain't going to remain the way they are. He said, don't worry about this little bit of suffering that we're going through right now. We're being drug in front of this court, being drug out of that court. We're being persecuted on every side. But don't worry about it. It's going to turn. God's coming back for a glorious church without spot nor wrinkle. But before He comes, something's going to turn. There's going to be a revelation and manifestation of the true sons of God. There's going to be a distinction between the multitude, though you know what the multitude is, can say amen about that, and the disciple. The disciple's going to step out from the mass and from the big group and step up and be counted And they're going to walk in the same light that Paul walked in. So he said, listen, I'm not trying to get in on what's going on in the world right now. This thing's going to turn. Holy Ghost told us that there's going to be a turn in some things. And church, it's time that the body of Christ start living by the word of God. Amen. And stop walking by their own eyesight and start walking by the Spirit of God and start counting those things which were once gain, loss. There's a whole lot of multitude people that can't perform the works of God, can't do the things of God. Why? They haven't counted anything lost yet. But these people, Paul could move in the spirit of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He could move in the things of God. Why? Because that's all he had. I mean, all you got is Jesus. I heard, listen, the wise man built his house upon what?
The rock.
And when the storms came and the waves beat upon it, what happened? When the storms came and the waves beat upon it, it stood. There's some waves coming and there's some storms coming. We're living in the last and evil days, where the world shall wax worse and worse. But the glorious church of God shall shine brighter and brighter. It's manifestation time. Yea, doubtless I count all things, where it starts to get dangerous. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. That's getting scary, isn't it? You know, the gospel is free, but it'll cost you everything. You know, the life of Christ is free, but it will cost you everything. Everybody wants more of God, more of God, more of God, more of God, but nobody's willing to open up and make room for God. You got to empty out before God can fill up. That I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Now, that's really scary. Now, we've heard it. How many of you heard it on the other side? Now, of course, we know that righteousness, you know, that we can't stand in our own works. And that only Jesus, we can only stand in the blood of Jesus, who is our righteousness. We understand that. Does everybody understand that? That our righteousness is not of our own works and of our own deeds, but it's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which makes us stand righteous. But a righteous man, what? Walks and lives and abides in righteousness. Paul said, I count all things but loss that I might win Christ, which is through the faith of Christ. Paul would say many times that I might come and encourage you in the one, the faith. Many times in the Bible, how many of you read through the Bible several times that you'd hear him writing letters to the churches and writing epistles and letters to the church? He said, that I might come and encourage you in your faith. Well, faith was a little bit different. See, we just get a little bit of faith over here. We got a distorted picture and a distorted view of faith. Paul was saying that I might come and encourage you in your faith, which is your works. That's kind of scary, isn't it? If Paul were going to come in here tonight, he says, listen, I'm coming that I might encourage you in your faith. Because there was one time Paul said, listen, you tell me about your faith and I'll show you my what? Works. Faith is evidenced by the way in which we walk. And many people are walking in their own understanding, in their own righteousness. They're not led by the law of the Spirit. And what is the law of the Spirit? Righteousness in Christ Jesus. Doesn't the Bible say that? For the Spirit is life, and it's also righteousness in Christ Jesus. As you follow the anointing of Jesus, that is the life of righteousness. What is the life of righteousness? Obeying the Holy Ghost. See, many people got this little one time once, and that's it. I done said my little prayer, and I got it all together. I'm being led by the Spirit. You're being led by the Spirit if you're being led by the Spirit. And if God is not altering your steps and you're not obeying, if you can't hear the Spirit of God, guess what? I don't care how many times you go to church, you're not led by the Spirit. Paul said, all things I count but loss, that I might win Christ, the righteousness which is of faith. That I might know him. That I might know him. How many of you want to know Jesus? Many people want to know Jesus historically. Many people just want to know Jesus historically. What did he do 2,000 years ago? If I come to church, just tell me this. These things. So, tell me the stories of Jesus. Don't just tell me the stories. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Paul said that I might know him. There's a hunger abiding on the inside. But we want to see Christ manifest. And this goes along, someone said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. How do you grab a hold of the resurrection power of God? The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall do what? What will it do? It shall quicken your mortal body if that Spirit dwells in you. Now, the life of God and the life of Christ is a life of what? Obedience. See, sin is death. Did you know that? Sin is death. And life is the same as obedience, because sin is just basically walking out of sync with what God wants you to do. That's sin. Missing the mark of perfection. Missing the mark of God's perfection. Not being obedient to the Holy Ghost. It's sin. But if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Bible says it shall quicken your what? What body will it quicken? If the Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive and make move what? Your mortal body. Not just your immortal body. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. See, listen, God wants you to live and move on the earth today. See, make move doesn't mean anything. It says quicken means come alive. What does it mean? It means that it will make your mortal body. What is the mortal body in? The flesh. What? If the Spirit dwell in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. And make alive means obey what? The will of God and the mind of God. And as you do that, as you obey the Holy Ghost, as you hear the word of the Holy Spirit and walk in that word, God calls that faith. That I might know him. So Paul said, listen, all things I count but loss. Paul said that I might know him. So you got to want to know Jesus. You got to want to know Jesus, and not just historical Jesus. You got to want to know the power of God. To know Jesus is to know the power of God. To know Jesus is to know the miracles of God. To know Jesus is to know the anointing of God. To know Jesus is to know the divine flow of God, which is the love of God. To know Jesus is to see miracles happen. To know Jesus is to see healings happen. To know Jesus is to see devils come out. Come on! To know Jesus is to see the dead rise, because he is alive, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But I got to count all things but loss before I get into that. I got to get focused. I can't be thinking about my stuff and my own righteousness, how I'm going to stand in this world, and how I'm going to live, how I'm going to support myself. Listen, I'm not worried about that stuff anymore. All things I count, come on now, all things I count but loss. But see, that doesn't mean I'm going to be a bum on the street somewhere. Come on. Because the Bible says, you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added unto you. So I got that taken care of. But I'm going to seek first the mind of Christ, that I might know him. And if I'm going to know him in that way, if I'm going to know God to where it starts to take stuff off of me, come on, to where I start to give up my own desires, to where I start to give up my own mindset, even how I'm going to live and how I'm going to support myself and start to follow the Holy Ghost. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship. I was talking to Jesse and Crystal. We were in the car and we were coming home and we were talking about suffering. And we said, the day is coming when the saints are going to learn to suffer. Guess what? You're going to learn to suffer. See, you're going to learn to suffer. But the life of Christ, the suffering in Christ, the Bible said, take my yoke upon me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that suffering mean? that I might have fellowship with his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If we're made conformable unto his death, guess what? We'll be also made conformable unto his what? Life. What does that mean in fellowship of his suffering? Where did Jesus suffer? Where did Jesus suffer? We know he suffered on Calvary. But you know where his suffering took place? You know where his suffering really took place? Gethsemane. When he went there and prayed. And he prayed and prayed. I read one scripture that said, and Jesus falling in prayer. What does that mean? That means that he had a battle going on the inside of him that was so rough before he even started to pray, he just fell out. And he suffered in prayer. And he said, Lord, nevertheless, not what I will. Not what I want. See, he had this same mind. See, Paul got a hold of that. He said, it's whatever you desire. See, and that's the thing about people. God's always got a better way. I told Jesse, I said, why did Jesus keep going back to those disciples and say, could you not tarry 1 hour? And they never were able to do it. What did he have? What did we miss because of that obedience? You ever thought about that? He went back 3 times and tried to get them to pray. Now, he wouldn't try to get them to do something they didn't have the ability to do. He wasn't just playing games. There was something that he wanted to give us that we missed out on because the people were not even willing to pray. That I might know him. And see, this is the thing that Christians need to learn today. See, that's why we got a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Because Paul said, and the power of his resurrection. So we say form of godliness. See, when there's no power, it's just a form of God. See, because man was just a form until God breathed into it. Form. See, that's the problem with the church today. It's just a form. Not every church. Come on. It's just a form. Amen. The structure's all there, but there's no life in there. And where is the life? And the life is when the saints start to forsake themselves, get the mind of Christ. And their faith is just not them believing for a new car, but thank God we can. But faith, that's not what faith is about. Faith is, listen, I believe he's coming. So I'm going to alter my, I'm going to count everything but loss for gaining Christ and to see him in the power of his resurrection. Now, we said on one of the other nights we left off that if we would walk in the fruit of the Spirit, that we'll find ourselves approved of God. And when God approves of us, what will he do? Signs, wonders, and miracles. So we're right in sync with that tonight. God's ready to upgrade himself. He's ready to manifest his powers. But we don't got anybody that's willing to live like Paul. We want to do the things that Paul did. We want to do the things that Peter did. We want to do the things that Jesus did. Amen. But we want to live just like everybody else around us. But everybody else around us is not doing the things that they did. Forgetting. What's behind you? What's behind you? What did you leave? Where'd you leave? You're not going to go anywhere until you forget. See, I've left the world behind me and forgot about it. I'm not missing out on anybody. Everybody think, your life must be so hard. You must be, I ain't missing out on nothing. I forgot it. Forgetting those things which are behind us. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be as perfect, be thus minded. Let us therefore, as many be perfect. Highlight that real quick, church. In verse 14, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Well, to be perfect means what, church? Bible says, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect, right? Isn't it hard to be perfect? Isn't it hard to be perfect? Well, this perfect means let those that would be perfect keep the same mind ready for use. See, we got to get ready to be used of the Holy Ghost, and we got to get ready to be used of God. This is what this whole thing is about. He said, this is how I'm preparing myself, and this is how I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for the resurrection power to be manifest through my life. How am I getting ready for the manifest power of God? Listen, I'm put everything else behind me. There's nothing before me, nothing more focused on my mind than the return of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that I desire to see Christ manifest. all things I count but loss for Christ, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and fellowship with His suffering. How many want to walk like that? That's how you gain a prize. And I just heard the Holy Spirit so clearly. And the Holy Ghost told me, tell the people, find their stopping point and deal with it. Find your stopping point, because everybody's been in a place and it seems like a circle. You want to go deeper and you want to go on with God. You want to go on with God. Then you come up to a roadblock and you just stop right there. You stop. Why don't people grow up in Christ? You know, why does the church get stuck where it is? Why aren't we seeing the things that the church should be seeing? Why aren't we walking in the levels that God said, that the Scripture says we should be walking in? Because people stop. We can't be to the point just because there's some unfamiliar stuff before us that we're unwilling to go forward. We have to press and count everything but loss and don't stop. Prayerfully right now, would you consider your life? And I see in the Spirit of God people pulling up stop signs right now. You're not going to go to that same place. Some of you have been at this place before. You've been on fire for God. You've been ready for God. You've been ready to step out. You've been ready to go forward. You just enjoy the ride. Then all of a sudden you just get to the point to where you stop. This life is not a circle. We go from glory to glory to glory. And that's how we're transformed into His image. God's got much more than this that we can experience, that we can walk in. The people you need to run from are the people that are seeing it all and know it all. Old wineskins, they'll never get a dose of what God's going to do in this next wave of God, this next wave of grace. People that think they know it all, they know absolutely nothing. Run. And I speak right now, and I can hear the Holy Spirit in these last several things that we've been talking about in the last couple days here. I can hear the Holy Ghost saying, get ready. Get ready. And I can hear that hundredfold return call. I told Jesse, I said, you know what the hundredfold return is? It's for those that walk like Paul walked. People that are given 100% to God. 100% of themselves. They count everything but loss, but for knowing God. That means that everything they put their hands to, it's God's. And God has to bless it. God has to turn it around. Hundredfold return. You will find out as you studied it real quick. He said, this the hundredfold return are for those that really are focused, holding nothing back, but giving everything they got and everything they are to do what God wants them to do. And I promise you by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that if you will yield your bodies as living sacrifices and you forget those things are behind you, you don't have a mind to turn back at all, you pull up all your stopping signs and your stop signs and you say, listen, I'm going on with God. I will not be limited anymore. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to see God manifest. I'm going to manifest the fruits of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to manifest the Spirit, and I expect signs and wonders to follow me because I believe. When do you want something to happen? When do you want something to happen? How many of you want to have the same prayer that Paul had? I mean, how many of you want to have that same kind of thing to where you, Paul said, look, I just want to know God. I really want to know Him and His power. I want to know more of His power, people. I want to know more of the power of God. I want to know the power of God that when Jesus, you know how Jesus would walk through town and things would just happen. We count all things but loss. That means go for broke. You know that? That means go for broke. You're going to win. If you really got faith in something, you really know. If you really know, you would make a quality investment. I don't got time to follow the world anymore. I'm focused on what God wants me to be focused on. And I expect to see something happen in Jesus' name. As every eye is closed, right now. God is ready. This is the hour. This is the day. This is the season. Now is the time. And I hear God ready to cut covenant with His people. God's looking for a bunch of people, a group of people that will not draw back, that will have no limitation. We talked on the other night about having no limits. This is what God is looking for. What's going to happen when you get out there in the resurrection power of God? What's going to happen when you get out there in God's resurrection power? But you're not going to touch the resurrection power until you forsake your own life and count and go for broke and count all things but loss. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to ministers, especially ministers. And you want to go for the big haul. Those that want to become, to join Christ and be, get in fellowship with His suffering. That means you want the Holy Ghost to give you assignments that you're going to have to yield to, even assignments you don't understand. Even things that look too big for you. You just got to yield yourself to those things. Even it means out of convenience. See, we had to get to the point, even in our ministry here, I'm just on call all the time for what God wants me to do. Whenever He speaks, I'm going to flow. Whenever He speaks, I'm going to flow. And I expect as I go forth, the more that I die to myself, the more of Christ that I'm going to see start to manifest in my life. And don't you count all things but loss. Following Jesus. See, there are a lot of people that want to run into the ministry because they don't want to do nothing else. They think, if I just do the ministry, I won't have to do anything else. I'll just sit around and pray and sing. Ministry is becoming in fellowship with His suffering. For everyone that's in fear tonight, or for any area of your life, I want to pray with you, especially people that have come up against places where you just stop. Where you just stop. You know, you wanted to cross the line. You wanted to cross over to the other side of ministry. You wanted to cross over to the, I mean, you just wanted to go deeper and go farther. But you just stop there and look at it. I want to encourage you to go over to the other side. Walk on the water of faith. Step out there. Find an area to die to in Jesus' name. Give God an area that He can fill. Count all things. Not most things. All things. But lost. For the leading of the Holy Ghost and the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you need a ministry. I'm talking about an accountable ministry. Don't let Jesus show up. You don't have any fruit in your life. You want to become, you want to get in fellowship with His suffering. And I'm talking to people that you know God has spoken to you in certain areas and said, I want you to do this. That knock on the door, when God gives you an assignment, that assignment is life knocking on your door. Holy Ghost assignments. In Jesus' name. We're going to win this city. We're going to win this city. But this city is not going to be won to life until we start to move in resurrection power. If Jesus moved in it, and every one of the apostles moved in it, why can't we? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest field. Father God, because I yield everything to You, I count all things but loss for the knowledge of You. Father God, I want to know You and Your power. I also want to become a partner in Your suffering. Let Your will be done in my life in every way. Father God, as I open my heart to You, fill me with Your grace, with Your anointing, and Your power. Make me effective and productive for your kingdom. For this moment on. From this moment on. In Jesus' name. I go forward.